with Dr. Pam Peek.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 503 of Her, the podcast about bold and brave. And today I'm joined by Dr. Margie Worrell. Now, she wrote a book that totally rocks. It's called The Courage Gap, and she's got the street creds, including a PhD in organizational behavior, like we all misbehave, right? So, Margie, what is this thing about the courage gap? What is this?
Well, Pam, it's great to be with you. Have you ever had a moment where you knew there was something you needed to do or say, maybe you need to have a conversation with someone and you knew it was the right thing to do and yet you held back and you didn't do
it? Oh, like daily.
Yeah. Well, I think most people can easily think of moments where there's something they know they need to do. They need to make a change. They need to take a chance. They need to speak up and have a conversation, give some feedback, push back, and they hold back. And it is our fear that creates that gap between what we know we should do and what we actually do, between our potential and our behavior. And so fear creates that gap, and it takes courage to close that gap. So I have written a book to help people close the gap between what they know they need to be doing and they can be doing to live the lives they really want to live and create the outcomes they want to create and the actions they need to take to make that reality.
Why the C word? Why courage?
Well, you know, courage obviously comes from the French cœur, heart. We know that courage is not the absence of fear or self-doubt or those moments of going, oh, should I, shouldn't I, what if it all goes terribly? It is the decision to take action in the presence of the fear and in the presence of the doubts and the risks. And, you know, dating back to the days of Aristotle, we know that courage is the virtue, the skill that makes all others possible. And so it's also a learnable skill, Pam. It's not something that some are just born with and some aren't. Every single one of us, even the most timid people, the most risk-averse and cautious people, have the capacity to develop their ability to take action in the presence of their fear, to develop their courage muscles.
My question to you is, this is so compelling. What got you started on this in the first place? I mean, your book is fabulous, and I read about your background and how much, as it were, courage it took for you to be able to leave home and be the first in your family to get that college degree and go forth. But what actually made you think about courage and want to really spend all this time writing about it?
Yeah, that's such a great question. Yes, so I grew up on a dairy farm in rural Australia, and now I live just outside Washington, D.C., so I've certainly stepped out of my comfort zone many, many times to have the life that I have now. But I think when I look back, yes, my childhood was formative, growing up on this farm, you know, learning to ride horses, falling off and settling back up 1,000 times. But I think it was in my 20s I was dealing with and thankfully came out the other side of an eating disorder. At the same time, I had just chosen to move to Papua New Guinea, one of the most dangerous countries outside a war zone at the time. And I found myself, Pam, constantly counseling people. I mean, I was working in corporate marketing, but I was constantly counseling smart, talented, clever, creative people on how to deal with the challenges that they were facing, on the decisions they were making, on their own kind of hang-ups. And I realized at that point in my latter part of my 20s that I didn't want to stay on the path I was on, and that it is not a lack of intelligence or education or opportunity that holds people back by and large. It is an unwillingness to really confront our deepest fears and to get clear about what we truly want and what matters more than those fears. And I just felt this deep conviction to help people live bigger, braver lives. And I couldn't have articulated it that way as a 29-year-old, But as my path unfolded, I ended up having four children, but in between armed robberies and miscarriages and global moves. And all the way along, I just kept realizing so often it is our own deep unfaced fears that keep us from living lives that we enjoy, from dealing with our problems and challenges in more effective ways, from building richer relationships, and from exiting toxic situations. And so, yeah, it's like a call on my heart, Pam. I can't say that it's always rational. It's just there, and I feel I have to heed it.
Yeah, you know, as a fellow author, you get to a point about certain topics and themes where it's just on the tip of your tongue, and you just want to share it like there's no tomorrow. I've done this so many times, and that's why I ask, like, what really oftentimes is a tipping point to making you say, okay, that's it. I'm putting my foot down and we're going to do this thing. Let's do this. Now, here's my question. You know, flashing forward to where we are today in 2025, why do women need courage? I knew I'd get you.
Oh, yeah. Well, as a woman, as a big sister of seven, as a mom of four, as a wife, etc., all of the roles that we women have, all the hats that we wear, the childhood experiences that we have, and even the most well-intentioned parents can still be gendered in how they raise their kids. You know, the studies show that parents of girls tend to be a little bit more precious about them, you know, riding their bike with no hands down a hill than their sons. It's just this unconscious biases that shape us. And I think often we women internalize some of the gendered norms that have existed for hundreds and hundreds of years. And we doubt ourselves more and we back ourselves less. And not only do we have our own internal negative talk tracks that keep us sometimes playing ourselves small, but the world around us can play us small. And we can find ourselves just feeling overwhelmed and underappreciated and discouraged by our environments that don't always call us to step up into our power as fully as we're capable of doing. And, you know, I actually did my PhD studies in women in leadership, Pam. And there's no doubt that women have to practice bravery and courage in ways that men often don't.
What do you mean by that?
Well, because if you think about, you know, say imposter syndrome as an example, we know that men experience that too. It's not just a female experience. But women experience it more often, more acutely. This, I'm scared if I put myself out there, people realize I'm not good enough, that I'll be found out as undeserving for this role, that at some point my cover's going to be blown, that I'm not as smart as they think or as worthy as they think. Women struggle more with self-confidence, which is defined our belief in our ability to succeed at things. Women tend to be a little more risk averse. I mean, part of that is a good thing. We don't do the dumb, stupid things sometimes that men can be more likely to, kind of those acts of bravado. But again and again and again, our fear can keep us from stepping fully into our gifts, our agency, putting our hand up, taking on bigger opportunities and roles and responsibilities. And so I think women, if we pull back what courage is the willingness to take action in the presence of our fear. You know, women sometimes can be more held hostage to our doubts about ourselves. And so we have to practice courage because we don't always believe in ourselves as much as we should and as we need to. And that's just how it is. And it's why I know myself just countless times, and this little voice in my head has said, who do you think you are, Margie? You know, people are going to realize you're not that smart, good, educated, experienced, etc. And I've had to just defy that voice and go, I'm just going to do it anyway, even though I'm nervous and I'm afraid, and I'm just going to do it anyway. And it's why I have such a deep passion for encouraging women.
That's one of the reasons why my motto in life is Helen Keller's famous quote, and that is, life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. The way I look at it is, what's the worst that can happen? You fall on your ass. Okay, dust your ass off, stand up, you know, and move it along here. And the question is, what did you learn? And I just look at life as just this amazing, countless series of life lessons. And the question is, which ones really resonate with you and which ones can you incorporate into your life to enhance it, enrich it, so you can become wiser one way or the other? But one of the things I'm worried about today is, you know, most women didn't grow up on a dairy farm. Between you and me, you know, I owned a horse farm. And I'm going to tell you something. You learn a lot mucking those stalls and learning how to get out there and be rough and ready and take risk and all the rest of it. The grand majority of women today, certainly in the USA, do not have that kind of experience. And I have this underlying secret, like, it's a dark space. And it says, I think women maybe are coddled too much. Maybe, like, you know, if you have a little hurt feeling and maybe something, it's like, instead of just sort of saying, whoa, okay, someone got in my face and made me feel bad. Let me think about this. What do I really want to do? Or do you run away? So what I'm trying to say is that growing up today is really different. Everything's remote control. It's easier. You're staring at screens. Where do you actually develop the skills of courage? And I think between you and me, and I'm on the board of the American College of Sports Medicine, and I'm a triathlete, I think that one of the reasons why so many women are getting into all kinds of fun, recreational, competitive sports now, including marathon, triathlon, all the rest of it, is because they yearn for an ability to almost develop courage at a primal level. Can you get over that hill? You're sweating and you're like a filthy, nasty thing out there. You've been out there for hours, whatever. If it's a tough mudder, if it's whatever, you've been doing pickleball for 3 hours straight, whatever it may be, it's like your own little way to practice courage. Can you really keep it going? So I'm just wondering, outside of like sports and stuff, do we have other avenues to be able to practice courage in an environment in the United States now where you really don't have a lot of opportunity to get out in the outdoors, to be able to really put your mind and body to work? Where do you find that courage?
Yes, great question. And I think the rise of things like Tough Mudder and Spartan, and whether it's triathletes, I actually ran my first marathon last year, Pam, that same, life's getting a little comfortable for me. I have 4 kids, they've left home, and suddenly I'm not stretched in the ways that I was for many years, you know, with all of these moves and kids and all of that stuff. And I was like, I feel like life's getting too comfortable. And so just recognizing we often don't know how brave we can be until we've been tested. And the beauty and the blessing of being born in a country like the United States, and honestly like Australia too, is that we have access to such affordable comfort, that we have access to so many affordable comforts that our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents couldn't have imagined, you know, whether it's aircon in the car or remote control for the TV, you don't even have to get off the couch, right? Our lives are so comfortable that we run the risk of living too comfortably, and we don't develop our courage and our grit and our resilience. And so hence, people are intuitively at that primal level going out and going, I gotta just stretch myself and be tested. And so, yes, sports and things like Tough Mudder are one way to do it, and that's valuable and it's terrific. I applaud that. But I also think the screens that we live on give us an easy way to be cowardly and to avoid the hard, courageous work of meaningful connection in our lives. And so I think another arena for us to develop courage is in our relationships, by leaning in and lowering our perfectly curated mask that's on the highlight reel on social media and being authentic and having brave conversations and sharing the truth of our lives and taking off all of the things we adorn ourselves with and showing up as more of who we truly are in our relationships. Because actually, and it's interesting that we're recording this on Valentine's Day, but relationships are our greatest source of joy and meaning in our lives, and they're our greatest source of stress. And today we're living with people who have never felt more isolated and alone, never felt more anxious. And I think one of the most important areas of our lives to develop our courage and practice courage is in our relationships with other people.
I just think that that's absolutely spot on. And go figure, it is Valentine's Day. Everyone, when we come back, I'm going to ask Dr. Worrell what it's like when a woman steps into discomfort. The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. And we're back. All right, Margie, a woman needs to step into discomfort to really face what it's like to develop courage, to be able to hone those skills, right? Isn't that what you wrote in your book?
Sure is. So our comfort zones are called comfort zones for a reason, because they're comfortable. We instinctively want to hang out in them. And yet, I know it sounds cliched, we don't grow there. We can't blossom there. We can't hone our strengths and cultivate our talents when we're just doing what feels comfortable. And so it is an act of immense self-empowerment and liberation, honestly, truly expands our ability to live much bigger, freer lives when we reset our relationship with discomfort. When we say, you know what? I'm not going to avoid what's uncomfortable. I'm actually going to lean into what's uncomfortable, not for the sake of feeling uncomfortable. Like, I don't want to go and jump in cold water because, hey, it's uncomfortable, but because it actually is the ticket price to living the life that I really want to live. And we all want different things. Not everyone wants to climb a mountain. I have climbed mountains, but not everyone wants to climb a mountain. Not everyone wants to write a book, Pam, like you and me. Not everyone wants to have kids or a large family. Not everyone wants to be CEO of a business or run a cafe or Airbnb. Like, we all want to do different things. And that's a good thing. Thank God for that. It's great. Our richness lays in our diversity. And yet so often, the biggest barrier for us taking that first step forward is because when we step up to the precipice of what I call our courage gap, we have an anxiety attack. We go, ah! I mean, maybe it's not a full-blown anxiety attack, but we have this overwhelming physiologically in our body reaction that goes, don't do it, retreat, retreat, retreat. And so it's physical. I get butterflies in the pit of my stomach every time I step onto a stage to speak. And I actually gave a talk 2 days ago in Minneapolis to 3,000 people who work in the aged care sector. And just before I was about to step on stage to speak, I felt like running to the bathroom and throwing up because, like, my body is in this, you're about to expose yourself to the judgment of 3,000 people. But what I've learned is to dance with that discomfort and go, this discomfort I'm feeling is a sign that I am stepping onto center stage in my life and living my purpose in a powerful way. And so when we can embrace that discomfort, whether it's the butterflies in our belly, that tightness in our chest, that feeling in our throat, you know, our sweaty hands, whatever, and go, this is actually a cue for me to move forward, not to retreat. It emboldens us to do the very things that our fearful self, and we've all got a fearful self, would much, much prefer that we didn't do.
You know, one of the things someone once told me, just piling on to these excellent points you just made, is never, ever lead with fear. So you don't want to lead with fear. You don't want to live with fear in that regard. Many people wake up in the morning and they have fear in their belly. They're like, I'm afraid of what's going to be taking place at that first meeting I have, or the confrontation with so-and-so, or back and forth. And whenever I perceive fear in myself, I take a breath. I just take a very deep cleansing breath. And I go, what's up with you, girlfriend? What up? Why are you fearing this? What's happening? And then I ask that question, which I just love, which is, what's the worst that could happen? Really, totally. What if someone doesn't like you? All right. Well, you're not here to be loved by everybody and his sister. You know, you do the best you can. You just do the absolute best you can. But women, I think you're right in a big way, oftentimes are filled with more self-doubt than they should. And I think a lot of this is also because, quite frankly, the bar is higher for women. Let's just be real. The bar is higher in many respects. And, you know, we have to prove ourselves in a big way. I spend a lot of time on Wall Street and I see it on a very frequent basis. And so I think that women then lead with more anxiety. Now, that's a different thing. Anxiety is actually good. You should be anxious. You know, before I start a triathlon or a marathon, whatever, I'm a little anxious. Like, I make sure, you know, my shoes don't fall off. I make certain that all my equipment's there. And that's all good because in the stress response, it makes you extremely heightenedly alert. You've got heightened alertness. And so that makes you focus and concentrate really nicely so that you don't miss any detail, certainly details that are really going to put you in a lot of trouble. And that's a good thing. But I think I'm just arguing for the fact that women oftentimes are quite anxious and then it spills into fearfulness. I think the anxiety is fine. The anxiety you had before going on stage, after decades of being on stage and being in multimedia, do I have any anxiety, as it were? I think you should. I think you should have enough to keep you alert. I think you should to be someone who is fully mindful and attentive right in the moment so you don't miss a single detail. That's what I call kind of healthy anxiety. That's a good thing. Then there's an unhealthy one where all of a sudden your brain is filled up with bad things like you're an idiot, you're an imposter, what the hell are you doing on stage? You have nothing to say, you know, blah, 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 all that stuff, which I think every woman has to work through and say, to heck with all that. You watch me. I'm going to go out there and crush it. And I'm going to do it because I'm smart, strategic, focused. I practiced. I thought about it. You see where I went with that? Uh-huh. Does that make sense,
Marty? Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wrote about that in the book in terms of that. I mean, obviously there's a difference between de-stress and eustress, the healthy stress we need to be on our game. If I was asleep having a nap 3 minutes before walking onto the stage, that would not be a sign that I was on my game. But there are two core dimensions to courage. One is the management, the regulation of our fear response. And the second is our willingness to take action in the presence of fear and risk. And that fear response, our nervous systems are called a nervous system for a reason. We have a defensive self that's constantly on alert for what could go wrong. what could I lose? I could lose face. I could create discord with the pack. I could be marginalized, taken off the invite list, you know, all of these things. And often that social anxiety of our place, our status in the pack, that actually processes in our brain a little like losing our life, like our sense of identity and belonging. And so just recognizing that is what it is to be human. I mean, this is what it is. It's the human condition. But we have to take ownership for managing that fear so it doesn't manage us, and for resetting that nervous system, that nervous response. And you said it earlier, Pam, great point. I'm glad you raised it. You just take a breath. And while obviously there's mindfulness and meditation and all sorts of things we can do to help reset our nervous system so we're not this tangled ball of anxiety walking through the world, even just pausing for 30 seconds and taking the longest breath you have all day and breathe in courage and breathe out fear and do it again and just notice where that fear is in your body and breathe into that very spot, because fear shows up in our body. You know, our issues live in our tissues. And so just recognizing that fear can embed in our bodies gives us a target for intervention. And then standing tall, putting our shoulders back, putting a smile on our face, which sends a signal to our brain that I got this. All of those things help turn the psychology of fear into the physiology of courage and enable us to then step into that discomfort, putting our bravest step forward.
I just love what you said when you said, breathe in courage, breathe out fear. That is so cool. That's easy to remember. And I can really feel it, practice it, and visualize it in a big way. Now, you called the book The Courage Gap. So tell women, and let's make it woman-centric, what is a courage gap to a woman?
It's the distance between who you are now and who you have it within you to become as a woman that was born with a host of different talents and gifts and strengths that's accumulated a whole lot of hard-won wisdom, that has particular passions and things that are put on your heart beyond an intellectual level that just light you up and ignite a fire in you. And the distance between who you are and the life you're living and who you can be and the life that you really have it within you to live, that is your courage gap. And you don't close that gap in one step. In fact, none of us actually permanently close that gap, because no matter where you are and how brave you've been, there's always opportunities to practice more courage. And I think as women, and I believe this so deep in my bones, is that we all are called and have a responsibility to be a source of encouragement for others, to use our gifts and actually sometimes our hardest experiences to help others be a little bit braver, live a little bit bigger, feel a little bit lighter, believe in themselves a little more and doubt themselves a little less.
I think that women crave some mentoring here. They crave role models that aren't just the usual stuff, a TikTok influencer or some celeb who's talking too much politics. Instead, really raw, authentic role models of women who have just slugged it out there in their own lives, in their own lanes, and have learned courage and bravery through a tremendous amount of just confronting courageously and then really using trial and error. So you should never, as a woman, be afraid to step into discomfort, because where else are you going to learn how to be able to hone your skills? So discomfort could be something like, oh my God, I've never played pickleball before, so now I'm on the court and I'm going to look like an idiot. Stop that. You're a beginner. Get over it. Now, come on now. You may find out that this is just like the coolest thing ever. I actually did, first time I ever did it. And that was kind of interesting. And then when you step into discomfort, what I've learned from your wonderful book, The Courage Gap, it's essential. It's an essential part of life. And discomforts come in all flavors. little tiny micro discomforts like, oh, it's so hot outside, but I do have to walk the dog, that kind of thing, versus the big stuff, which it could be like, oh, the deadline's not next week, it's tomorrow. Rot-row, it's time to kind of rock and roll here. So now, what did you mean when you said find the treasure when you trip?
If you're being brave and you're stepping into discomfort and you're making a bet on yourself and on what you want to do and who you want to be, you're putting yourself out there. You're signing up for the pickleball, or you're reaching out to someone to be a mentor, or you're applying for a bigger role that exceeds your current knowledge and skill set, but which is interesting to you and you know you'll grow in. There is always going to be a risk that things aren't going to go the way you want, that you might try and you might fall short. And as hard as it is for us to fail, it is even harder for us to learn the lessons that our failures hold. When you have a conversation with someone and it doesn't go very well, when you put yourself out there and you get rejected, we find it incredibly jarring to our sense of identity. Rejection hurts, failure hurts. And often we want to brush it under the cover or just not look at it and just go, or blame it. And it's like, oh, and we don't want to just go, what is it? What is the deep, deep learning? What's the gold in this experience that I didn't like, that I didn't want, that I didn't enjoy, that actually could help me step forward next time a little bit wiser, a little bit smarter, a little bit more strategically? And so finding the treasure when we trip is all about forgiving ourselves for being fallible humans. None of us get it right all the time. We all fall short, and yet not missing out on the learning and the richness of lessons. You know, you alluded to earlier that life's one big masterclass. Well, what if you treated your whole life as a big masterclass and you keep having to repeat some classes if you're not learning the classes? So if you keep finding yourself in the same situation, in another toxic relationship, being devalued by people yet again, being passed over for an opportunity yet again, it's easy to go, it's all the system, it's all against me. No, just take a step back and go, what's the learning for me here? Maybe I'm not speaking up with enough authority. Maybe I'm not being bold enough in asserting what my value is. Maybe I'm not setting enough boundaries. Maybe I'm shortchanging myself and settling. Maybe I'm letting people treat me small. And so learn the lessons there, and then you graduate, and then you're going to have other lessons. But that's what it is to find the treasure when we trip.
I just think that that is so terribly important for every woman out there to hear. You don't feel overwhelmed. Don't throw up your hands. Just say, remember what I said before earlier in this podcast? What are the life lessons? What are we learning here? Maybe I am in the wrong direction here. Maybe I need to refine things. Maybe I need to seek out some help, some mentoring. Maybe I need to do all of these things. But you have to take a moment, step back. There comes that cleansing breath again. And then, yes, all together now, Margie. You know, it's like, you know? And just do some self-reflection and then do some homework, girlfriends. Now, speaking of homework, as we're bringing this to a close here, what I'd like you to do, Margie, is to give our wonderful Her Podcast audience a little bit of homework. What could they start doing right now to close that courage gap that you write about in your wonderful book that just came out? What could they do right now? Low-hanging fruit, the simplest things, a micro change, something where they could begin to open the door and see that they do have the courage to rock and roll. So what could they do?
Firstly, just start right where you are, not where you want to be, right where you are. Do not compare where you are with anyone else, and ask yourself, what would I do today? Today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not when I'm sure, not when there's certainty. Today, if I was being brave, And I'll guarantee you that if you're being truthful with yourself, there's going to be something that you know you could do today. You could reach out to someone. You could pick up the phone instead of text. You could sign up for something that you've been holding off from. There's something you could do today, because courage is a muscle. It grows stronger with use. And if you haven't been practicing it lately, it's going to feel uncomfortable to do one small thing. But every act of courage reclaims the power we've given to fear and empowers us for bigger things. So it's the small little acts of courage that build your muscles to do the big things. So start right where you are with the next decision you face.
I just think that that's fabulous. So listen, girlfriends, we have some homework to do here. Just sit down, grab that little cup of tea, and begin to look at your life and ask yourself these questions. How do I feel when I wake up in the morning? Am I consumed with fear? Some anxiety as you begin to do new things? Perfectly fine. But if you're just totally consumed with fear, that's not great. Be okay with stepping into discomfort. That, after all, is where you learn. And then there are hidden treasures when you do trip. I always like just to dust off my behind every time I fall down and stand up. And honestly, one of the things I love too, Margie, is the use of humor. I go, all right, well, that was an epic fail. And then what did I learn? And then with a big smile on my face going, okay, let's do that one again. And it just goes on and on like that in life. Smile and always, ladies, lead with self-compassion. Love yourself. Because it is Valentine's Day, you know. So this is Galentine's Day. So this is for all the gals out there, to say the least. And you too, Margie. I want to thank you, Dr. Margie Worrell, for your wit and wisdom, your fabulous book, The Courage Gap, Run On Out and Get This Book. And thank you so much, Margie, for being on the Her Podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. And thank you for being the role model that so many women need, Pam.
Well, listen, we all do this together. It takes a village, you know. And I want to thank my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs Rooted in Nature, and their new Her Life Stages products. Scope it out at Solaray, SolaraY.com. Now, this has been a production of Podcast Health. And remember, every one of you out there, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you could do with that time are not. So come on now, get out there, carpe diem, seize the day. Thanks for listening, everyone.